Visiting today with OSU's Alex Rocatelli. Today we're talking about some different kind of fun things that we're going to talk about. Mainly, we're going to talk about, he's going to talk to us about Bermuda and how we can interseed annuals into our perennial pastures. Now, Alex, you just actually gave a talk on this a couple of weeks ago to some K-State advisors. So kind of tell us a little bit what that means, interseeding annuals into perennial pastures.
Well, what we mean with interseeding annuals into perennial pastures is exactly, for instance, pretty much here in Oklahoma, what's very common, it's Bermuda grass pastures, right? So, and we know that the Bermuda grass grows pretty okay from late spring until early fall. And by September, it starts to get dormant. And that time that the Bermuda grass is dormant, we could go there and plant to interseed like wheat or any other cool season, small grains cool season, or even legumes, and let it grow during fall, winter, and early spring. So that would pretty much like extend our grazing season. In other words, that pasture that would be there dormant with no production, we could be producing more forage in that piece of land.
So this is an awesome opportunity and a great way for farmers who would normally run out of the Bermuda grass, because like you said, it quits blooming and kind of goes away. You could interseed with something like winter wheat, and then you could graze that out.
Right, exactly right.
And how hard of a process is this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. When we talk about interseeding something to Bermuda grass, sometimes producers may expect that they are going to have the same production as you could have if you were just planting wheat on a tilled soil. And that's not true. There is something here that is going to happen is like the Bermuda grass is going dormant. And so that will interfere a little bit the timing and also in how many of those wheat plants will emerge. And that's why we can increase your total production on the area and extend your grazing season, but don't expect that you're going to have the same high production that you could have in a clean tilled ground, because that's that interference, like those two plants, one may compete with each other for some period of time.
And is this kind of like cover cropping, because you're able to replace a plant with a plant and keep that moisture in the soil?
Well, once the Bermuda grass is a perennial and has a good turf, during the fall, the soil is going to be very well protected by the dormant Bermuda grass there. So I believe that as a purpose of more protecting the soil, that would not improve anything. The way that I see the improvement in the system is, first, you are making your land more efficient, because now we are not only producing forage during the warm days of the year, but also during the cool days of the year. And at the same time, what happened is, we know that here in Oklahoma, we get a good portion of rainfall we got during the fall and also during the spring. And when the rainfall is coming, the Bermuda grass is pretty much dormant. So portion of the water is being wasted, I would say, by evaporation, just the sunlight evaporating that back to the atmosphere. That's not much, because we know temperatures are not too high, but we have some of those losses. And also there is some weeds that start to pop up in our pastures. Even though some of those weeds can be grazed, especially when they are immature, they are young plants, but they are not high quality forage. So see, we are wasting water that God's providing to us not in a good way. Now, if we interseed a small grain there, for instance, wheat, we are making better use of that water, producing a very high quality forage.
That makes sense. And so like what happens when, you know, you graze down the interseeded wheat, does the Bermuda come back pretty easily the following year?
Well, that depends on how you are going to terminate. See, they are in both ways. I would say like when you are interseeding wheat, you need to have some strategy so the wheat will emerge very well. And also when the spring is start to get late in the spring and summer is coming, you need to make sure that you are terminating that wheat so your Bermuda grass can come back easily. And that's those Just two times, exactly when Bermuda grass is getting dormant and your wheat is about to emerge. And also when your wheating is going down and your Bermuda grass is going to start to green up. Those are key times for management. So you can make that shift from one forage to the other in a good way.
Who do you recommend this for? Like, what types of producers does this work the best for?
So I am doing research right now where I am interseeding wheat, and also I'm stockpiling Bermuda grass and comparing the efficiency of those two systems on how much forage we're producing, the quality of the forage, and also how much water we are using, because we are just installed like 2 meters deep access tubes in those in the fields. And we are measuring how much soil water we are having in those different fields with those different forage systems. And so far, what I have realized, of course, this is just little data. We don't have much data yet. But I see that system working much better on the east portion of the state, where we have higher rainfall. Therefore, we have enough water that we can add the cool season into the Bermuda grass pasture, and it both of them can be sustained by the amount of water that we get during the year. Now, when we start to go central and west here in Oklahoma, it starts to become a little more challenging. And even in the west, I am not much sure how much this system would be feasible just for the fact that we don't have enough water. Because water rainfall start to become more scarce. And in this case, irrigation might be a solution, but I believe that producers may use irrigation with crops with a higher value.
Okay, so this is mainly going to be for producers that are used to getting some rain throughout the season.
Right, in the east portion of the state and also central portion of the state. That's where I believe, and look what I'm saying is my educated guess, that I believe that this system can fit better.
Well, yeah, that for sure makes sense. Have you found that wheat is the best one to interseed, or do you feel like the legumes are better as an option?
So far, I didn't try any legumes, and I would like to try some clovers and also alfalfa in future. I focus right now on the small grains, because I think that producers here are very used to wheat. And so would be the first thing that we would try to interseed. Now, when you talk about cool seasons, I believe that if producers want to start with something, I believe that wheat would be the best one, because interseeding the process is already something new and challenging. So if you are trying this new process with a new plant, a new forage that you don't have much knowledge on, is going to be double of a challenge, right? So if you start the process of interseeding with an annual that you are very used to work with it, I believe the chances of success for the first time as experience would be higher. So that's why I believe that wheat might be the way to go. Now, wheat, it produces, I would say, during the fall, it produces, I would guess, like a ton and a half per acre. And during the spring, we may double that production. And as you can see, like the growing of the wheat during fall is a little slower, for instance, than rye. Rye, it's a annual small grain that really grows much faster during the fall. And that would bring an advantage when we are interseeding rye, because the Bermuda grass is starting to go dormant, but it's still active growing, let's say by mid-September. That's the time that I recommend interseeding, a little later than we are doing in a tilled field. And if you have an annual there that can grow aggressively and faster, I believe the chances of success is going to be higher. However, again, the fact here in Oklahoma is we have a very good wheat group that develop very good wheat forage types. And that's where I believe that the wheat is still a good option because we have more options for wheat and we have a good program here where we have wheat developed for forage. But keep in mind that rye might be a good option. Now, what are the another problem with rye is that we know that rye can be a weed in wheat fields. So if in future you are planning on placing wheat there, and even in that interseeded wheat in future, you are planning even in trying to harvest some grain. I don't know even how economical that would be, but there were some producers last 2 months that called me asking if that would be possible. I say like, that's a good question and I would like to try also. So anyway, if you are planning to place rye there and you let it seed, and after you're planning on putting wheat, that can be a problem because rye can be a weed in wheat fields. That's the feral rye. So that's where rye also might be a problem.
So it's going to be pretty important to pick the good variety that you're used to working with. I mean, you had mentioned, I know a lot of people out west do plant rye instead of wheat because they're planning on just grazing it. So if you do that, you may need to stick with that particular variety that you're planting.
Right. I mean, that's a good point. And I believe that that would be the best way to say that in simple words. Yes, I think that you are completely right. If your target is only grazing, yes, rye would not be a problem. But in future, if you are planning on producing some grains, rye would be a problem if we're planning on producing some wheat. Yes, that makes sense. Now, you don't need to stick always with rye or wheat if you're planning on grazing. The main point here is if you place rye there and you let the rye seeded, after you can have rye coming back from those seeds in the next years, and that can be a problem on wheat.
Gotcha. Well, Alex, always such good information, and I love how passionate you are about all of these grasses, and we just enjoy talking to you about them. So we appreciate you today.
Thank you very much.